Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we are privileged to gather in worship on this Lord's Day. Jim Printhrop and his wife Kelly are still basking in the sun and warmth of the southern Caribbean, so I am obviously the one sharing the announcements. So we're going to have to see how much of a suntan they have when they get back, right? And just, we'll have to comment about how they just missed all our lovely weather. I don't know why they decided they had to be gone for vacation, right? And we encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad, and if you will, pass it down to your neighbors. And our newest elders, deacons, and junior deacons, please be reminded of the training session that will take place in the sanctuary here immediately after this service for those who are scheduled to serve during the 11 o'clock service. For anyone interested in attending, also I'm offering a Christian beliefs program that will be looking at the basic beliefs of our Christian tradition based on a biblical text. I'll be offering that on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock for five Thursdays. And so far we have some folks who have signed up for that. If there are people that would be interested in a Thursday evening time frame, I would like to know that as well. But if you are interested, just please let me know. And hope we'll have a good time during this winter season to be able to reflect upon the scriptures and how the scriptures inform our beliefs. Please also make note of the bulletin announcements about the choir rehearsal and also the church's food pantry. And many, many thanks for many of the contributions that have been made as your gifts to the food pantry serve a number of families here in the Northland. Also, your 2021 giving statements are there in the foyer in that box on the table. Please, if you will, pick those up, so if you need them for any tax purposes or otherwise. And if you can pick them up, that saves us having to take care of the postage and mail them to you. But again, welcome to the Lord's house as Ryan leads us in our call to worship. Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. With our own eyes, we have seen God's salvation,
which God prepared in the presence of all peoples,
a light to reveal God's will to the Gentiles and bring glory to God's people. We'll now sing number 560, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, all three stanzas.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all arms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright a path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning,
pray. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to assemble in your house to honor your name through songs of praise, the hearing of your word, and through the uplifting of our prayers. We pray, O God, that the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable to you as your Spirit guides us and as we are strengthened through our assembly with fellow believers. This we pray in thanksgiving in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. May we take a moment to say hello to our neighbors, please. May we have our children come forward for the children's moment, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How do you like all this cold? You don't like the cold either, do you? I don't like it either. Anyway, today I see in the bulletin where Pastor Dennis has a little thing that says how failures lead to success. Huh. So how does that work? If you fail at something, how can that be a success? That's kind of a tricky question, isn't it? So, well, my daddy used to say, the only time you really fail is when you fail to try. Which meant if you don't try, then you've already failed. And in the Bible, it tells us we learn how Jesus is always with us, even in the very, very, very hardest times, and how he can take even those very, very worst times and make something good out of them. We learn from the times that we don't succeed. If I try to make something new, and after I get done, there's just a whole big blob of, I can't even tell you what it is. Some people would look at that and say, you failed. no good. But I look at it and see, okay, I know what not to do next time because that didn't work out at all. I know not to put too much baking soda into things because not only does it not taste so good, but again, kind of it explodes. It's a big mess. It's nasty. Nasty. I know not to put too much oil in a pan because then things taste greasy. I know that if you leave the Play-Doh out, it gets all dry and hard and you can't play with it anymore. So we know what not to do, huh? Jesus will teach us some lessons in our life, and he will help us get through them. He says, no matter what's going on with you, no matter if you think it's a big failure, if you think it's just horrible, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to help you, give you courage. I'm going to give you strength to get through it, and you can learn how to be thankful for even the little teeniest things you have, like being thankful for just waking up every day, being thankful for your breakfast every morning, being thankful for cold weather. We really do need cold weather. It kills all the bad germs out there. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you each and every day for everything that you give us. We thank you for the cold that we don't appreciate. We know that new life can't start until the old life dies away. We thank you for, especially for these children and for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, not only today but through this week, may we remember Helen and Lauren Kirby. Helen was at North Kansas City Hospital this past week, and through some testing, it was discovered that she has a type of bone marrow cancer, and she is going to be assessing that with an oncologist here in the days ahead. But that TAVR procedure for the aortic artery has been put on hold now in light of this new development. Lauren is at the Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation and seeing some good progress, so please keep both of them in prayer. We also keep Tim and Kelly Jackson in prayer. Tim had a needle biopsy of one of his lungs, as there is concern about potential cancer. Results will be in later. Regarding the coronavirus, Linda Stevens is at home as she is in now round two of getting the virus. So please keep Linda and several of her family members in prayer. Ruth Ann Solomon asked that we lift up Rihanna Ralston, as Rihanna is looking to have a procedure on her heart that is a prelude to the possibility of a valve replacement surgery. Also, Jerry and Betty, we are so delighted to see both of you. Bless you. Good to see you today, as we certainly keep you in prayer. We also have been mindful of concerns for John Adams and Larry Pettis. We also remember Debbie Brzezinski, John and Jean Cantola, Grace and Jean Kimberling, and Jill Gregory. We also, a word of praise, as Carol Cook mentions that her daughter, Christy, that nodule on the thyroid that's been determined to be less of a concern than originally believed to be, right, Carol? So we praise God for that, and hope as physicians keep an eye on that everything progresses well. Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris, is having surgery on Tuesday of this week, and I believe that's in Colorado, so please remember them. We also keep Katie Turner's cousin Anoki Krager in our prayers, and Linda Stevens' son-in-law Jeff, Kelly Jackson's mother Pat, and of course her brother Brandon in our prayers. So with all of these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Lord God, as 2021 appears dimmer in the rearview mirror, and as the new year of 2022 lies in the pathway before us, we recognize that even though the only major thing changing is the year of the calendar, we appreciate how it has often been your desire to renew much within our hearts and minds as we make our way through life's journey. We remember how you began the calendar anew as you created the ceremony of the Passover as a symbolic way for the Hebrew people to leave Egyptian bondage in their past and follow you as they would be dependent upon your everyday care as they made their way through the wilderness. For as the prophet stated in Isaiah chapter 43, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." We remember, O God, that your Son came into the world to wipe away the transgressions of our sins, and he offers us one and all the privilege to leave behind our sinful ways and begin a new and living relationship with you as we commit ourselves to a new life in Christ as Lord and Savior. For as the prophet also reminds us in Isaiah chapter 43 that you remember not the former things nor consider the things of old. And no matter what challenges we may face in our earthly lives, we realize that a great victory has already been won over sin, and we are destined to find great renewal in your eternal presence. For as we are told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, that he who has been seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Thus, as each of us make our way through these first days of this new year of 2022, may it be with hearts filled with optimism and hope that we embrace each new day of life that you grant to us along life's journey. This prayer we offer you, O God, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn historians believe this morning's communion hymn, "Let Us Break Bread Together," likely began with only the last stanza as it called African-American slaves in Virginia to secret worship services before dawn on Sunday mornings, even though such gatherings were prohibited by slave owners. After the Civil War, the two stanzas related to the bread and cup were added to cast this hymn into a communion hymn as it is often used today. But for us as believers, it still calls us to worship to God in humility and to humbly receive God's great grace, exemplified by the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper. As we remain seated, we sing hymn number 425, "Let Us Break Bread Together," and we will sing all three stanzas, please.
Let us break bread together.
Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to your table this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you for Jesus who died on the cross to save us from our sins. As we take these emblems, let's be reminded of his sacrifice and our eternal life through him. In this we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we do welcome you to share. fourth chapter, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We give a portion of our gifts in thanksgiving to God for all the abundant blessings we've received, as Barbara leads us in a word of prayer and we receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do for us in our daily lives. As we gather in your house, we can all remember how blessed we are and how we hope to be your stewards here on earth. Bless these gifts and the givers here today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I'd like to share with you is from the Gospel of John. It's the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 19. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? Yes, Lord, he answered, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, take care of my sheep. A second time, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he answered, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, take care of my lambs. Third time, Jesus said, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? And Peter became sad because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And so he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you up and take you where you do not want to go. In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, as the new year lies before us, we realize the success of our endeavors may be paved with numerous failures, but we find great comfort in your great grace and redemption as we strive to achieve your purposes here on earth. In Christ's name, we offer you thanks as we seek your Spirit's guidance. Amen. With the start of this new year, 2022, you may have found yourself assessing your achievements of the past year as you anticipate what you may endeavor to do in this new year. You may find yourself weighing out what you feel have been your successes and weighing them against what you may feel have been your failures. During such assessments, it's rather easy for us to focus mostly on our failures, which I guess is the reason why we start many a new year with these things we call resolutions to make improvements on any number of habits or tasks related to our future well-being or to the benefit of others. Yet, may we not be so hard on ourselves, because the truth is that there are few successes that are not really cloaked in the mire of incremental failures. Considering all the progressive successes for humanity throughout the duration of human history, and especially as I've had 2 weeks to work on this sermon since we didn't meet last week, I have been pondering what has been what we consider to be the most significant achievement for humanity in all time. And with that thought in mind, a date has come to mind repeatedly. The 20th of July, 1969. Some of you were not around then. Many of us were. If you were living back on that date, you likely remember where you were and what you were doing on that day, because you probably at least remember the event if you don't remember the actual date. It's quite possible that you, like myself, were among the 600 million people, or in that time period, 1/5 of the world's population of the time, listening in as Neil Armstrong radioed his report. "Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed." And like millions throughout the world, you likely had your eyes fixed on the television screen as Armstrong leapt off the lunar lander and planted his feet on the moon's surface as the world heard him declare, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." I've often wondered if they have students memorize that at school these days. I don't know. Might be interesting if that were the case. Surely, humanity's living presence, standing on the surface of another planetary object other than the Earth, still stands as our greatest achievement, made possible by the incremental intellectual, scientific, mathematical, chemical, industrial, mechanical, and computerized achievements over the course of centuries. At the age of 11, watching the event while seated on our carpeted living room floor, with my back against the sofa and my eyes glued to the granulated black and white picture on our family's fairly new color television, console TV, it seemed like everything went off like fine clockwork. Chances are you may well remember, again, if you lived in that time period, what broadcasting network you were listening to. You remember there were three of them back then. And who was reporting on that day as you were given the step-by-step procedures as to what was happening? And we were absolutely astounded by the fact that we could see that from such a far distance away, and to realize that we weren't that far off on the timetable, right? But it has only been in more recent years that behind-the-scenes occurrences have become known to the public. And we now know just how tenuous the Apollo 11 mission was and how easily several small failures could have resulted in disastrous consequences that could have cost two men their lives and resulted in the cancellation of the entire endeavor. But at the time, we were unaware of those details. So what was going on behind the scenes that never made it in the broadcast back in July 1969? 3 minutes from landing, the lunar module's computer sounded an alarm, and a flash error message set of numbers also became apparent. It was unfamiliar to the astronauts or anyone at mission control. In a short period of time, it was deciphered, and the computer's alarm signal was saying it was overloaded. Questions about aborting the mission were discussed frantically at mission control, but it was finally determined that the trouble was a radar switch that was set in the wrong position. Only seconds later, however, as the Eagle sped along 400 feet above the moon's surface, a second problem arose. The planned landing site on the Sea of Tranquility was a smooth lava plain, but as Armstrong looked out the window, he saw before the craft an endless field of crater holes and boulders the size of trucks. It was later understood that when the Eagle undocked from the command module, its cabin was not yet fully depressurized. This small burst of extra gas pushed the Eagle a full 4 miles off from its intended course. Armstrong, a well-trained Navy combat and test pilot, had to take manual control of the Eagle, which was not part of the original plan. 10 feet from the moon's surface, the Eagle was kicking up so much dust that Armstrong had to gauge his landing by looking out the window at some nearby boulders and by looking at shadows cast by the sun. And of course, those shadows were coal black, so they didn't even help you make much of a distinction. And as he touched down, the landing craft had only 60 seconds of fuel remaining for the descent. Upon landing, the extreme cold of the moon's surface plugged up a fuel line with ice, a problem that could have easily caused a massive explosion. Houston debated whether the Eagle should immediately lift off again. Yet fortunately, as they frantically discussed this whole question, heat from the engines seemed to melt the ice away, relieving the pressure. But if there hadn't already been enough troubles that threatened the Enterprise, when Armstrong and Aldrin were ready to go outside, there was still too much air in the capsule to depressurize it and get the door open. Aldrin carefully peeled back the edge of the hatch in order for it to finally unseal itself. Then as Armstrong struggled to squeeze through, his backpack snapped off the arming switch for the ascent engines. You know those engines you needed to get back off the moon? How would you feel about that one? It was a simple switch, but irreplaceable, some 239,000 miles from any earthly hardware store. Yet after their walk on the moon, and with a little ingenuity, Armstrong used his trusty Fisher Space ink pen to arm the engines for liftoff from the moon's surface. By the way, you can still buy a Fisher Space ink pen even today. Did you know that? And Armstrong's one small step for a man actually ended up being a three and a half foot jump. Armstrong had so skillfully landed the Eagle that its shock absorbers failed to bend downward as intended, which would have put the ladder closer to the moon's surface. You see, these details show that even though the Apollo mission for humanity to step onto the moon's surface seemed rather flawless from a casual observer's point of view, there were numerous occasions in which such small failures and foibles nearly resulted in an aborted mission. And it is believed that even in the attempt to abort the mission at those various points, the astronauts probably would have lost their lives even in that attempt. And certainly, again, could have resulted in the complete failure of the entire program. Just like so many of our human endeavors, small and great, success is often achieved through persistence, despite our failures, rather than by some picture-perfect, flawless achievement. And yet, how many times have we seen people start up something and then they give up on it because they're afraid they're going to fail? Or maybe they have one small failure and they just give up on the whole endeavor because they, I'm just not going to make it, blah, blah. You know, persistence in spite of our failures is so important. Among church leaders, none seems more accomplished than one of Jesus' original 12 apostles, Simon Peter. For surely he possessed an unstoppable zeal that would be an admirable quality for anyone striving to achieve the best for humanity. And certainly through the centuries, Peter has been venerated and depicted through numerous statuary pieces, paintings, and other works of art and literature. On the occasion of the Last Supper, Simon Peter declared his steadfast allegiance to Jesus. He said that he would die for Jesus rather than to deny him, even as Jesus had predicted he would do so. And later in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Simon Peter who drew his sword and cut off the ear of the servant Malchus in a desperate attempt to stop the high priest's arrest of Jesus. And thankfully for Malchus, Jesus healed him. Yet later that night, Simon Peter's failure was poignant. The apprehension and peer pressure he endured from his fellow Jews must have been immense as he huddled among them at the fire pit in the high priest's outer courtyard. As Simon anguished over what was going on for Jesus during the interrogation inside. Exhausted and fearful, Simon Peter's courage caved in. For when he was clearly identified as a true follower of Jesus that night in the courtyard, he denied his allegiance to Jesus three times before fleeing into the darkness, certainly filled with the remorse and anguish of his failure. Yet, days later, after Christ's resurrection and before his ascension, in the company of Jesus and the other remaining 10 apostles, redemption and reconciliation were at hand. As Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And with the third asking, a parallel to the number of times that Simon Peter had denied Jesus, Simon declared, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus once again charged Simon Peter with the task of caring for his sheep, certainly a direct reference to care of the church of Jesus Christ, to which Jesus had previously said Simon would be the primary leader. So it was even in the midst of failure that you see, Jesus empowered Simon Peter by not only offering him redemption, but giving him responsibility to move forward, of which Simon Peter surely did. It was Simon Peter who preached at Pentecost, and over 3,000 were added through their confessions of faith and baptism. It was Simon Peter who led the church to align with the work of Paul and others in order to be taken to the known corners of civilization. And it was Simon Peter who later professed his true allegiance to Christ, even as he was martyred, through his death on an upside-down cross, as he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as did our Lord. And so, as you and I begin this new year of 2022, certainly we feel a bit of apprehension, a bit of uncertainty, not quite sure where things are going to go with the pandemic, not sure about whether we as citizens can ever become a cohesive citizenry again, wondering about this, wondering about that on a personal level, a global level. Yet, you and I, what we must understand is that we are called to be followers of Christ. We are called to strive towards success in our quest to achieve the work of God's kingdom. The behind-the-scenes endeavors of the Apollo mission and even the shadows of Simon Peter's endeavors reveal that, yes, failure is at hand, but we are called to press on, even through our failures, for we shall succeed for the glory of God's work here on earth in our day and time. And let us never forget, no matter what we may face, the greatest success story has already been written, that in Jesus Christ, we are redeemed from sin and given the privilege to share in God's eternal glory. That is what we celebrate, that is what we profess, and that is what drives us forward to do what we can for the glory of God's kingdom on earth. So I ask you this morning, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life could be transformed. And maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, Be Thou My Vision, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of hymn number 595. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, a reminder, especially to our newest deacons and elders serving in the 11 o'clock service, we do have that training session here at the front of the sanctuary right after the service. Again, be reminded also of the 2021 giving statements that are in the back. If you'd please take yours, that helps us to save on postage. But again, wish you the very best as you begin the new year. May you always feel empowered by the blessing and presence of God's Spirit. May we pray. Lord God, as we journey forward with the new week, may we always know your Spirit is with us to guide us and to help us in those endeavors that can bring glory to your kingdom here on earth and be a blessing to others, and to help us know that we are indeed always assured of your comfort and grace. Guide us now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.